sincere heart, to confess our sins to God our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Amen. Almighty and eternal God, your Son Jesus triumphed over the prince of demons and freed us from bondage to sin. Help us to stand firm against every assault of Satan and enable us always to do your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after Holy Trinity is from the first book of Moses called Genesis, the third chapter. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love,
and with him is plentiful redemption.
Out of the depths
I cry to you, O Lord.
O Lord, hear my voice.
Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy.
If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities,
O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness,
that you may be feared.
I wait for the Lord, my soul waits,
and in his word I hope.
My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen for the morning.
More than watchmen for the morning.
O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love,
and with him is plentiful redemption.
And he will redeem Israel
from all his iniquities. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love,
and with him is plentiful redemption.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, the fourth and fifth chapters. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, "I believed, and so I spoke," we also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 3rd chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus went home, and the crowd gathered again, so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, "He is out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons, he casts out demons." And he called them to him and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, 'He has an unclean spirit.' And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you.' And he answered them, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother, he is my brother and sister and mother.'" This is the word of the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets, and I believe
Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I will reread verses 16 through 18. St. Paul says, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." This is our text. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. Every week in that creed, we confess that there are things that are seen and that there are things that are unseen, visible and invisible. Sometimes also the things that are invisible become visible. We can think of something like the Webb Space Telescope that allows us to see things way far out in the universe that we have never seen before. Or an electron microscope that makes things too tiny to see visible to the human eye. And the scriptures tell us as well that even angels, normally invisible to us, have sometimes been seen by the human eye. This much is sure as we think about things visible and invisible. There's a whole lot more going on around us than meets the eye. There is more happening every day, every moment than we can possibly see and know. It's true in the physical realm, but it's especially true in the spiritual realm. There are good angels, the angels of God, and they are protecting and fighting for us, though invisible to us. And there are the evil angels, the demons, tempting us and fighting against us. That's the reality in which we live, spiritually speaking, of visible and invisible. The question in front of us is this: how do we understand and interpret this reality? What does it mean? Are things good or are things bad? Scientists, when looking at and evaluating the physical world, often disagree on a question like this. They take what can be seen, they gather the data, and they try to understand it and interpret what it means. And that can be very difficult to do. Sometimes using the same data, scientists can come to radically different conclusions about what they're looking at. The same is true when it comes to the spiritual world. How do we understand, how do we interpret what cannot be seen? Or when something happens that cannot be explained, how do we judge what is happening? Is it good? Is it evil? Is it godly? Is it demonic? Is it neither, just an accident? Perhaps we think we can know, that we can judge and interpret rightly. But can we? And do we? In Genesis 3, we heard about Adam and Eve, who could not interpret things rightly. Even with their perfect minds, even with their minds untainted yet by sin, they got it wrong. As Eve was explaining herself to the Lord, she said, "She was deceived. The serpent deceived me." They made a judgment in the Garden of Eden. They judged that eating the fruit would be good. And you know, based on what they saw, maybe it was. Because we're told that that it was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes. That was the visible reality, good to eat. And the serpent is reminding us that it is. But the invisible reality, the spiritual reality, was quite different. And they got that quite wrong. Though it looked good to the eyes, this eating was not good. And it made for a whole lot more not good. Not only were Adam and Eve themselves plunged into sin and death with this eating, but so was every generation born after them, including us. From now on, there would be no peace, but enmity and strife. They got it wrong, and it was a disaster. In the gospel reading today, we hear another thing that was misjudged. Things were happening that could not be explained. Jesus was doing and saying things that could not be explained. So what's going on? How do we understand and interpret what Jesus is doing? That's what the people were wondering. Is this godly? Is it demonic? Is it good? Is it evil? Well, some, seems like many, judged wrongly. Consider what they said about Jesus. He is out of his mind. That's what his family said. Or others, he is possessed by Beelzebul, by the prince of demons. He is casting out demons. What we cannot see, what is behind the things we cannot see, we can see but cannot explain, is not good, they thought. We can see Jesus doing these things, and the way they interpreted it was that he is crazy and he is demon-possessed. It is evil. It is demonic. And they were mistaken. It seems like in our world, many tend to have perhaps the opposite problem. Not so much the problem of something supernatural that is good happening and being misjudged, but rather when things that cannot be explained are happening, the judgment is often made that these things are good, that they are godly and from God. You see it not only in the world, but even among Christians. You don't have to go far to find Christians who say things like they have a message from God, or they have seen a vision from heaven, or they have a divine helping hand revealing things to them. Maybe so, but maybe not. And how do we know if Adam and Eve got it wrong, if the people in Jesus' day got it wrong, how do we know we haven't got it wrong? That what cannot be explained but seems good really is good, or that what cannot be explained but seems bad really is bad. To make it even worse, that's exactly what Satan wants and what he is trying to get you to do. He is trying to get you to interpret things wrongly, to see the good things of God as demonic, like with Jesus, and to see the evil things that Satan is doing, like with Adam and Eve, as good. He wants to confuse you. He wants to deceive you. He has designed your fall. Satan's got plans for us, big plans, and maybe this is how he is doing it. Or at least one of the ways he is doing it. Making us see making what is bad appear to be good and making what is good appear to be bad. And that's how it happened with the people in Jesus' hometown. They got it wrong. They were deceived by the master deceiver. They were deceived because the reality was the exact opposite of what they thought of how they judged. Jesus was teaching them, and they judged him to be demonic. But what was happening was not of Satan. It was not Satan against Satan. In fact, what they were seeing was the very Son of God in human flesh, showing his dominion, his power over the forces of Satan, of evil. He was foreshadowing the great victory that was to come when he would destroy the power of death and the grave through his own death and resurrection. When it comes to Jesus' death and resurrection, the people got that wrong as well. The disciples saw Jesus, saw the cross and Jesus on it, and they thought that it was the greatest evil, the most horrible thing that had ever happened. And yet the reality was the exact opposite. We do not call it horrible or terrible Friday. We call it Good Friday. This is how God was working. It was how he was working his greatest good for the salvation of the world, taking what to human eyes and appearances appears evil, and using it to do his great spiritual work of salvation. This was God fulfilling his word to Adam and Eve when he said that the seed of the woman would come and crush the head of the serpent, even though it looked exactly the opposite. What Jesus was doing was not by possession of the devil. He was binding the forces of evil. He is binding the one who is stronger than us, but not stronger than him. And he is creating for us a new reality, a new family. Not an unclean one with unclean spirits like we received from Adam and Eve, but a new family of those who have been cleansed by water and the word. He's making for us not just a family here below, but a new family born from above by the Spirit, bringing us into a family of faith. Not that it replaces our earthly families, but to give us even more. Our earthly families, our blood ties, are gifts, precious gifts to us from God. They are to be cherished. But even our earthly families do not last forever. You know it. You've been through it. Parents die. Sometimes children die. Families are ripped apart. But the family of faith, the family given to us in Christ, the family that we are brought into through not birth, but new birth in water of holy baptism, that family will not end. That family will last forever. And that family is also a family to be cherished. The family that is thicker than blood, because it is made by water. Of course, what Jesus said here about this new family seemed crazy. More evidence may be that he was out of his mind. You heard it. He said that all these people, everyone who hears the word of God and does his will, they are his brothers and his sisters and his mother. Crazy? No, but in fact, simply expressing a reality that, though it cannot be seen, is nevertheless very real. More real than what we can see with our eyes. For as St. Paul said, so it is. What we cannot see, the unseen, is greater. That is eternal. The things that we can see, our outer nature, this world in which we live, it is wasting away. It is passing. It is here today, but gone tomorrow. Our bodies are getting older. They are wearing out. They are dying. The world is coming apart at the seams. Our culture is tearing itself apart. Kingdoms and nations rise and fall and come and go. History books and cemeteries are good reality checks for anyone who thinks that it is not so. This world is passing away. But we do not lose heart. We do not fear, because there is another reality that we cannot see. We know as Christians that the things we see, they come and go. They will not remain forever. But we believe there is another reality. Another reality not falling apart, not wasting away. A kingdom that cannot be shaken. A reality that is being renewed day by day as we are being prepared for a future that is both glorious and eternal. And yet that brings us back to the question, how do we know? How can we judge? What is real? How do we interpret and understand when our eyes sometimes deceive us, but we cannot see the spiritual realm? How do we judge what we cannot see? How do we get it right? Only by the word of the one who knows. The one who not only sees the visible and invisible, but the one who is the maker of what is visible and invisible. The one who knows more than us and reveals to us what we cannot see and what we do not know. How do we know? We know only by the word of God. Only by the word of God can we sit next to a hospice bed or stand in a cemetery and know that death is not the end. Only by the word of God can we know that the cross is an instrument of God for good. Both the cross of Jesus and the crosses that we must bear. Only by the word of God can we know that the bread and wine upon this altar becomes the body and blood of our Lord. The body and blood of the one who is stronger than Satan and binds him up. The body and blood that is given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. You see, the point is this, that it is only by the word of God that we can interpret correctly the things of this world and this life and the things of the next world and the life of that world to come. And we ought to remember that sometimes what the world calls good isn't. We judge on the basis of God's word. And sometimes we should know that what the world calls bad might not actually be bad after all. Consider what St. Paul said about his own sufferings and afflictions, and ours as well. He said that our sufferings here are a slight momentary affliction that is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. When the world suffers, that's not how it describes its suffering. A slight momentary affliction, preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And yet this is what God's word reveals to us. Now, some might scoff. If you're going through a trial and you say this is a slight momentary affliction, your unbelieving family and friends may laugh at you. That's what they did to Jesus. That's okay. We will continue to confess. We will continue to say the same thing as God. What he has told us in his word is true, and we will speak his word and trust when we cannot see. When there is no answer, when we have no answer to what is happening, when we don't understand and can't put the pieces together, when sometimes things remain a mystery to us, we simply come back to God and his word. And we trust what he has revealed to us in and through his Son, Jesus Christ. For this is what we know, that the same Jesus who drove out the demons is driving them out still. This is what we know, that the same Jesus who defeated death by rising from the dead is defeating it still. This is what we know, that the Jesus who forgave sins is still forgiving them today, right here and right now for you. And that the same Jesus who created all things good is working for our good still. And that this Jesus, who also gave you an earthly family, is giving you here a new family, giving himself to you as your older brother, and giving to you here in the church other brothers and sisters as well. We belong to something bigger. Though we cannot see it, we believe that it is so. And St. Paul even tells us that when our earthly home is destroyed, whether that be our bodies or our world, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You cannot see it, but we have it. It is yours. For as we live in Christ, as we live in his house here, not despising his spirit, but washed and fed and absolved by him here, so we will live forever. For the kingdom that will last is not the kingdom of the devil, but it is the kingdom of the one who died and rose again, your brother, who lives and reigns even now for you. And he will raise you as well. He will raise you to life. He will raise you to life with your spiritual family. He will raise you to life with your spiritual family forever. What is seen is passing away, but what is not seen is eternal. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding guards your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, thy strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Merciful God, you sent the promised seed to crush Satan's head forever by the death of Christ our Savior. As you gave comfort to Adam and Eve by grace and promised deliverance from sin and its curse, so comfort us by the forgiveness of sins and give us hope in the promise of eternal life and your new creation. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, Christ has made us his brothers by his incarnation and suffering for our sake, and fellow heirs of your undivided kingdom. Give boldness to those who preach, strength to those who work, generosity to those who give, and patience to those who suffer in your church, that we may always do the will of God and so be true and faithful members of his household. Lord, in your mercy. Give courage to your church, O Lord, that as we believe, so we also would speak of our Lord's resurrection and the confident hope we have in him, the hope that we too will be raised and brought into his presence. Embolden us by your Spirit to confess this Christian faith, that for Christ's sake, grace may extend to more and more people and increase thanksgiving to your glory. Lord, in your mercy. Bless all who are being instructed and trained in your word, especially Kay, Susan, and Seth. Pour out your Holy Spirit on their hearts and minds so that they love and honor you, confess the faith with joy and boldness, and seek to live in a way that praises and glorifies you. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, no kingdom divided against itself can stand. Graciously preserve our nation with its government. Frustrate the work of Satan and the seeds of destruction he would sow in every place. Unite our leaders and our people for the common good, while leading us to hope in that eternal kingdom which is not of this world. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal Lord God, hear our prayers for your servants who suffer in this earthly tent, especially Cadence, Danny, and Camilla, Ron and Mayu, Gino, Mark, Ed, Kay, Bobby, Rosemarie, Kimberly, Debbie, Audrey, Rose, Nancy Jane, Eric and Joan, Alicia, and Nancy. Do not let them lose heart, but fix their eyes beyond what is transient to the things unseen. By this slight momentary affliction, prepare them for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, when at last you will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, we thank you for the mercy shown to your servant Jared. Continue to keep him in your care. Grant peace and comfort to all who mourn, especially to Mary Jane and Steve and to her father Richard, as well as to Don and Karen Collagio, mourning the death of her brother David. Lord, in your mercy. As Satan once overcame our first parents through fruit of the tree, so overcome him now among us by the fruit of your Son's cross, his body and blood given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. Bless all who commune with repentance and faith, that in the comfort of the gospel they may be cleansed and prepared for eternal life with you. Lord, in your mercy. What was lost in paradise has been regained by the conquering wounds of your Son, crucified and risen. In him we are restored as your children and made bold to ask for every need. Hear us for his sake and in his name, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, who with your only begotten Son and the Holy Spirit are one God, one Lord. In the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity in substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. The psalm today is Psalm 103, starting at the first verse. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from west, so far he does remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
Source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh. We thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.